changes to the tentative agenda. We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Cheryl McVeigh, budget director, auditor's office.
I have nothing to report at this time, thank you.
Congress, IT.
I just keep busy like always, nothing new to report.
Thank you. Sheriff Kevin Glendinning.
Good morning. Jail's doing well now. We had an incident last Tuesday where we just had a leak come out of our work release shower. Had to move about 10 inmates out to Lee County through Saturday. But thanks to Rodney and his group, they had to do some demos, some concrete, plumbing, even some framing in there, I think, and finished work and got it back up and running, so we were able to bring them back Saturday. But I know they had some late nights, and I appreciate that work so we could minimize that out of county as much as we could.
Golf clap for the ride. You missed it, but I was giving you some.
And today we're at 92, total population plus 3 juveniles. 16 of those are out of county. So pretty much the same thing. Have several going up, but unfortunately some coming back, so kind of the revolving door that we run.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Morning. We got all sorts of stuff going on. So we got RFPs out for the campground expansion and the sidewalks up there at Big Hollow. So we made with some contractors reviewing those. We are working hard on the nature center, so we've got the new office built. We were making walls yesterday. We've got the service window we got to build and stuff, but it's looking like we're potentially moving in before the end of March. If things continue to go as they've been going, barring some unforeseen hurdle that we come crashing into. So as we move along, we're trying to get that done so that we can get up and start building the campground. I don't think anybody expected spring to start in February, and we got people calling us up saying that the campground's open yet. So we got to get transitioned into doing that so we can get some projects still behind us that we thought we were going to have all winter to finish doing when you decided to go away. Although we'll probably get a second winter in April, which will really upset everybody. But we do have a contractor coming in potentially this week to come into the campground, start grabbing out stumps so that we can potentially start putting rock down as soon as we finish the nature center project, or as soon as we can free up some people on the nature center project, we're going to send them up there and start constructing the campsites. We're doing the dirt work and putting some rock down. That way, when we award the bids at our March board meeting, which I guess is next week, then hopefully we can get an early start. I'm really hoping to have at least some of the sites, if not all of them, up and running by Memorial Day weekend. We'll see if supplies and contractors will allow that to happen, but that's my overly ambitious goal. Line law.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Hope springs eternal.
We do, I guess I should also mention, the other thing we're going on, we have our, it's called I Heart County Parks Banquet coming up April 4th, and so we're doing a lot of the background stuff behind there. We've got a banquet coordinator that we've contracted with, and she's going to be going around hitting up sponsors and stuff. So if you know anybody that would like to sponsor the event, have their business highlighted in front of the outdoors community here in town, that event is on April 4th at Barn on the Ridge, and we're looking for sponsors. And you can sign up, you can buy your tickets online, mycountyparks.com, the same place you reserve your campsites and cabins. Looking forward to that. We'll fundraise for us through our foundation.
Thanks, Chris. Ken Heinman, Mental Health Agency of Southeast Iowa.
Good morning. We continue to have our ACT and IRSH RFPs out, so people who want to bid on that can send their proposals to regional planning. Those are still out. Assertive community treatment and intensive residential service homes.
When do those due, or do you know?
They are coming up, I think, in March. So pretty soon. And then there's, so they're scored by regional planning, and then there's a committee that will look at the scorings for each one of those and make a decision, so, yep, coming up soon. The other thing I heard yesterday was, Ryan told us some of the timeframes that she's hearing for the new state's behavioral health legislation and everything. In October and November, the RFP for administrative services organizations will go out. So this is for the new districts that'll replace regions. October and November, RFP, and then the November, December, people will start responding to the RFP, and then by April, HHS will choose the administrative services organizations, or ASOs. So, I also heard that some counties are asking to be changed from the map for the new districts, like Johnson County's requested to be in a different district, not in our district. Iowa County and Poweshiek County have requested changes, so I don't know if the state's gonna let the map be changed or not, but we'll find out. So that's what I heard yesterday.
So. By the way, I printed out that conflict of interest form and signed it on my desk. If you would pick that up, we'll even give it to Ryan.
Sure.
I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Ken, are the ASOs intended to replace the leadership of regions now?
Yeah, regions will be no more by July 1, 2025. So the state's totally changing. Mental health won't be called mental health, it'll be called behavioral health. The they're putting substance abuse with behavioral health, and they're also putting gambling, alcohol, let's see what else, tobacco's in there too. So it's gonna be districts now, and they're gonna be larger districts, so they don't have to work with as many groups as what the regions were, and it's all changing. So people are gonna have to bid to be the leader of the district, and we don't know. It could be a not-for-profit that could get the bid, it could be a for-profit, it could be 20AD like our counties are right now as regions. So we could bid on it, but it'll be a different area, a bigger area than what we are now, than the 13 counties we are now. And
it goes down to 7, right?
I believe so. I didn't bring the map right here with me, but yeah, I think so. And it'll be very different. They're taking out a whole bunch of legislation that has to do with mental health right now, and they haven't replaced it yet. So HHS is saying they want a year of transition where everybody's gonna be in limbo and not know what. It's gonna be a mess for that year, the first year that it goes on. And there's gonna be a lot of things that we're not sure about, because like all of a sudden you'll get, whoever gets the bid to be the new district leader will right away have to start contracting for all these services, not just behavioral health, but all the other gambling and everything else. And how you can do that in such a short period of time is a concern too. It's just, so that first year is gonna be very challenging for the people that we serve, I believe, but from just looking at it. I hope it's not as challenging as it looks, but.
Sounds to me like there's gonna be a lot of people left out.
And the other thing is, we've always served people with intellectual disabilities.
Yeah.
They're no longer being served under the new district. That's going under the AAA, the Agency on Aging will be over that population. So that's very different. You know, they don't usually serve younger people like that. So, but that's in the new legislation. So it's a lot of changes, yeah.
I like to say something. The news media is here, so I won't say it. So.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, we'll do our best.
Shannon Pradel, Emergency Management.
I actually do have a few things to talk about. So over the last few days, I've had a lot of people asking what a red flag warning is. A red flag warning is basically when there's perfect storm of things happening. There's low humidity. there's high winds and there's high temperatures, so it just creates a perfect atmosphere for a wildfire. So if you begin a controlled burn, it's very likely that it could become wild. So that is what a red flag warning is. I also wanted to just touch on the weather for over the next about 24 hours. It's supposed to get up to almost 80 degrees today, but then by midnight tonight, it's supposed to be down in the teens. So if you have things outside or you started your early gardening, I would really suggest you shouldn't have done that because it's going to get very cold tonight. But then by next week, it'll be back up in the 70s again. So the last thing I wanted to touch on was with TC Energy, which is a pipeline that runs through the county, they are doing a drill or an exercise on March 19th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that is going to be on the Des Moines side of Henry Avenue between 230th and 240th Street. They were going to reach out to people in the area just to let them know that it's just a drill. But I just want to let everyone else know as well that there will be an exercise happening. We'll be working with not only our county, but we'll be working with Henry County as well as Liza County and then TC Energy. So you'll see a bunch of people out there, and that is what that's for. That's
all I have. Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah.
Benji Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. Just want to thank Rodney. During our board meeting, we sent out, we keep track of everyone's safety programs that they've actually attended, what they trainings they've done, and I handed it out to the board. Rodney has sent it through all the departments and is getting them to get caught back up. That way, if we do have an OSHA inspection, then we know that we're compliant with everything that we need to do. And Rodney took heed to that and actually stepped up, and we've been getting lots of emails. But so everyone knows, we do keep very close track of that. So if you want to know what trainings your departments had or what trainings you personally had, we actually have a record going all the way back. So if you have to miss a training, we don't send out the video trainings till the end of the month because it confuses people. But if you haven't been able to personally attend a training, we have the video trainings that you can watch. And I just wanted to thank Rodney for getting on that. So. Other than that, that's really all I've got.
OSHA does that.
OSHA does.
Company, it was not unheard of them to just walk one employee a little bit away, go and ask him, what you know, what's the ratio of a ladder,
right,
up against a wall or this or that question to see if he gave the wrong answers, whether it was unintentional or intentional. I got fined.
Yeah.
So yeah,
they take it very seriously. And I will say, we did have an OSHA inspection last year, and we did not get any citations for it, which is, I've never heard that. I mean, that's huge. So we work very hard to make sure that we're doing everything that we need to do so OSHA doesn't get upset with us, and apparently we're doing things right, and we just need to keep going. So, and thank you to all the department's heads for working so hard to make sure that it's getting done.
Lisa Schaefer, Swan County Attorney.
The weather is warm. I will let the jury make all inferences from that information that they choose to.
Reprimand from a judge or what?
We're busy.
Thank you. Natalie Steffner, Des Moines County Recorder.
Good morning. Things are going well in the recorder's office. A little update on our digitizing project. We went to upload a few hundred books from one of our companies and stuff. It didn't go right, I guess. They didn't follow some of the instructions of how they had to be, files had to be named. So been working with Colin and Tyler and Advantage Archives to get that fixed. So it'll get done. But probably later than sooner. And also, I guess it's never too early to start talking legislation stuff, where the Recorders Association is proposing and looking out into 2025 about some modernizing recording fees. Can you guess the last time recording fees have changed?
Let me guess, you're implying that we asked the state to give us more of their money?
Basically, I guess so. 1985 was the last time. So Iowa does have one of the lowest recording fees all in, I guess, all the surrounding states and everything. Iowa does have the lowest ones. So we are looking at possibly and working with some stakeholders to increase those recording fees. How it affects us is it does, that money goes into our general fund. I mean, not going to make a huge difference, but maybe a little bit, so.
Has the state increased any of those fees over that time? They haven't increased their revenue stream?
No, so all that goes to the county for the recording fees. Okay. So sorry, so it would be, I guess, the Recorders Association would be proposing that legislation to increase those fees. So for like a, let's say, a one-page document to record in Iowa is $7, and throughout about 12 other states, it's $20.02 for the average. A four-page document to record in Iowa is $22 versus $62.91. So we are extremely low, I guess you could say. We haven't, I guess postage stamps have gone up or tripled since, you know, who knows when, but not some other fees. So just some stuff that we're working on as an association.
Good luck. Thanks, Natalie. Zach James, Land Use.
Yeah, good morning. Ben, I think, speaking of the nice weather, I think tend to get a lot of phone calls this time of year as the weather starts to get nicer, people looking at either subdividing land or looking at building, you know, additions or garages or whatever. So take a lot of phone calls, but nothing really new as far as permits or anything like that yet. And then as Shannon mentioned, TC Energy, they actually do a thing every year where they ask about developments within a certain distance of their pipelines, just trying to find out about structures and things that maybe have gone up or potential future things that may be going up. So it's something that we fill out every year. So Jared got that in last week, and something we do for them every year. But other than that, nothing. Up to the report.
Thanks, Ed.
Yep.
Rodney Buesner, maintenance.
Good morning. Got a lot of different things going on. As Kevin mentioned, we had the work release project out there at the end of last week. I want to thank my guys for a lot of hard work and some long hours to get that kind of buttoned up so we can get things done as quickly as possible out there. Also, the new health department building's coming along. We've got a meeting Wednesday on some things. We have the annual courthouse and public building security committee meeting on Friday. It's kind of an annual meeting that we have, so once we have that, we'll probably have that policy come through again. We kind of review that on an annual basis and then bring it again to the board for approval as well. Also, this week have the courthouse security exercise planning meeting for to discuss a training exercise coming up on April 5th. That's the tentative date right now, so should have more on that hopefully next week. Also, as far as Tiger Grant project, they're saying on March 1st they're going to start on Court in Columbia on the, I believe, the west side sidewalk. By the second to third week of March, so it'll be down by like the island, so kind of down further south. And then when they get that done, the last part will be in front of the sidewalk in front of the courthouse. So looking mid to late March probably for that. Let's see, kind of weather depending on and also how things go. Mid-March they're expecting the street lights to be up, I think, and on. I think that will kind of involve like Jefferson and Maine. And also all the planters that you see, they kind of have to wait for the planting season for that. So apparently the trees that they're going to put in some of those will be done in April. So other than that, we just have a lot of different things going on. Several other meetings, but keep them busy.
Thanks, Rodney.
Thank you.
Krista Pogman, Local Health.
Good morning. We're also keeping busy. As Rodney mentioned, the public health building's coming along. When you drive by, there's four walls and the roof's coming together. It's really starting to take shape. Last week, we had the Board of Health meeting, and one of the things that we discussed was the annual report for the Des Moines County Public Health. And one of the things that was addressed in there of concerns was the lead testing for our county has been low. It's only been at 28%. So reached out to the state. We are going to get a lead testing machine. So when people come in to get immunizations, we'll be able to provide that. It's very important that kids who have higher lead levels, that those get addressed early, because that can cause developmental delays. So really want to address that for them. Also talked about the Board of Health has a webpage, and in the last quarter of last year, we had 115 users on that page. So people are really starting to visit that site. And that keeps information out there regarding the agendas and any of the news things that the Board of Health wants to put out there. Other than that, just keep it busy.
Thanks, Krista. Brian Carter, Warren County Engineer.
Good morning. A lot like everybody else, lots of stuff going on. Guys are out blading gravel roads. We have a small bridge project that our crew is working on right now. We're also ditching right in the same area, all that south of town. So all sorts of stuff going on. Working on a lot of stuff behind the scenes as far as documents for bids. And sounds like our little small bridge up in the bottoms that we bid a few, probably been a month ago or whatever it was now, that contractor may move in next week and start driving some steel that end road there in the bottom. So that's plenty of stuff behind the scenes, just getting things, whether it be lined up for the future or just contractors starting to talk about going. Actually might start doing some of our rocking program, our in-house rocking program, maybe next week if this weather pattern seems to be holding. We've talked to both quarries. We're waiting to hear back from them on the contract rock haul. They were both in the middle of their own business, so I'm hoping this week we get a better idea of timing, but I could see some of that actually starting up before all that long also, with the weather pattern we're in. So it's going to get, it's already busy, it's going to get busier, especially with the outdoor stuff kicking up pretty fast. So one of our local quarries did sell. I sent you guys an email. There was a press release last week. That was a family-owned, local family-owned company. I felt like they always, on their rock side of it, I thought they always treated us very evenly and fairly, to be honest with you. So glad they had it for so long, and congratulations to them. I'm assuming some of their folks are moving on to retirement, and hopefully the next company, the new owner, will be good to work with. So we'll have those communications. I did speak to my local contact, and he said in general that line of communication and the folks that we deal with already are going to stay the same from what he understands. So, but I believe it was the L&W and Ideal for sure, and I don't know if the Johnson family owned any other smaller businesses, but from what I gather, they sold to a company in Des Moines. I believe there was a press release on that, but that didn't come from us. So
that's... Brian, would you take them on that bridge down here? Are we the one responsible then?
On Bridgeport?
No, on the bridge that's there. Crew's going to move on the dead-end road.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Them tank cars underneath there, are we responsible for taking them out then, or is the drainage district going to do that?
The drainage district and us basically agreed to work together when that time comes to work on getting those out. So I'm guessing we'll do probably more than them, but they did extend the offer, or even commitment may be a better way to put it, to help us out. And that's important because they have a couple long reach excavators, and of course you're dealing with a fairly good sized drainage district, so, or drainage ditch there. I would expect we'll try to get the fact that we got to keep that road accessible because there are houses on the other side. Normally you would of course tear it out and use that dirt to reshape the road to connect the bridge. That won't be the case this time around. We'll need to build it. So realistically, taking the tank cars out, that can be a filler project once we get the bridge graded and opened and all that sort of stuff. So I could see it possibly being an early winter kind of a job. It won't necessarily be something that has to be done right away. But I think it can be a partnership, I guess, to a certain extent, trying to take those out. So.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Brian. Just anybody? Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have none.
We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have resolution 2024-13, setting an hourly rate for attorneys appointed by the Iowa District and Associate District Courts to serve as guardian ad litem pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 232. We have four of these, and pretty much the same verbiage. They are geared to different chapters of Iowa Code. Every so often, the state public defender establishes a new rate that you pay attorneys, that the county pays attorneys. And as close as we can tell, they don't do it by any regular rhyme or reason. They might do it once a year. They might do it every 2 years.
We expect those to be increasing at a pretty regular rate, simply because they cannot get attorneys to contract to do court-appointed work.
Yeah.
So they're learning very quickly that great economic law of supply and demand.
Yes.
And so there's a very low supply of attorneys, and so they're going to have to pony up.
Anyway, so rather than have a new resolution for each code chapter every time they change it, we're going to do pass resolutions that the Des Moines counties sets and establishes an hourly rate that matches the amount set by the Iowa State Public Defender. So there's a great deal of legalese in each one of these, and if you'd like me to read it, I'm fully capable of inflicting discomfort when called upon, but if nobody minds, we'll just go through each one of them with the title of the resolution and approve them that way if there's no objections.
Not here.
Okay. First one is resolution 2024-13, setting hourly rate for attorneys appointed by the Iowa District and Associate District Courts to serve as guardian ad litem pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 232.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Cheryl?
Sam McCampbell?
Yes, please.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have resolution 2024-14, resolution setting hourly rate for attorneys appointed by the Iowa District Court pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 232D.
Move approved.
Second.
Cheryl.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Resolution 2024-15, setting an hourly rate for attorneys appointed by the Iowa District Court to serve as guardian ad litem or attorney for a minor pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 598.
Motion to approve.
My second. Can you read it? Second.
Ad litem. Cheryl.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have resolution 2024-16, setting hourly rate for attorneys appointed by the Iowa District Court pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 633.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
And just to clarify on those for anyone who might have questions, this is when, so the guardian ad litems are generally for the children involved in a dissolution, child in need of assistance. The others go to probate and some other guardianship issues.
for the people who are getting those attorneys appointed to be paid by the county, they first have to complete a financial affidavit showing that they are indigent. So it's not as though the court just appoints attorneys for everybody that the county pays for. It's very much like in a criminal action where the defendant, they have to file the financial affidavit. There are guidelines set by the State Public Defender's Office. And if you meet those guidelines in these four areas, because these are the four areas where the code says the county pays, but you have to be indigent in order to get the court-appointed attorney. And the guardian ad litem specifically are for children. Particularly 232 is in a child in need of assistance action, and 598 is in a child custody action. So that is an attorney who is represented solely, therefore, the best interests of the child. Not anyone else, the best interests of the child. So that's what those are.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay, we have resolution 2417, rescinding the Des Moines County COVID-19 pandemic policy. Whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors established and approved a policy for Des Moines County employees regarding the COVID-19 pandemic on September 20th, 2021, whereas the Centers for Disease Control has now defined new guidelines regarding COVID-19. COVID-19 is now classified the same as all other respiratory illnesses. Therefore, be it resolved that Des Moines County Board of Supervisors hereby declare to rescind the policy for COVID-19 that was established and approved on September 20th, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. Have the 2022 amended homestead credits and military exemptions. Honorable Board of Supervisors, a list of additional and corrected claims for 2022 military and homestead exemptions in accordance with Code of Iowa Chapter 416.8.2 is attached to this letter. The Board of Supervisors may by a single resolution allow or disallow the exemptions as recommended. I hereby request that the homestead tax credits be approved as amended. The amended homestead value is a decrease of $29.10. The military claims remain unchanged. Sarah Doty, Des Moines County Auditor.
Motion.
I'll second Jimmy's.
I'll let you sort that out, Cheryl.
Okay. Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Personnel action with the Sheriff's Office. Sean Trevor Phillips, a deputy, moving to a school resource officer in the 80 hours. So that's just a difference in assignment.
It's the, he's actually been in this position since 2022, so that date's on there, but it's to reflect the needed change in Tyler for the hours of work that he's been doing in comparison. So,
okay. I saw the date and I see that now.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Cheryl.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Minutes for the regular meeting. Oh, wait, I have reports. The sheriff's monthly report to the Board of Supervisors. And this report will be on file at the auditor's office, available for public review at their convenience. Finally, we have minutes for the regular meeting of February 20th, 2024.
Motion to approve minutes.
Second.
Cheryl.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
other business? Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I had a 911 meeting, we okayed the budget, and had a assessor board meeting after that, but I didn't make it past the sidewalk. I was having a long conversation with John Crouch. I was prepared to be there. I didn't make the boys. I was across the street, but yeah, somehow I missed that. But anyways, and then I also had Workforce Development Board. They've got some new technology coming out. They've implemented a new program where they're including games that go along with tests to try to get people more interested in working, so that's about it.
Well, you know, Shane?
Yes, sir.
You missed that meeting with the mayor of West Burlington. I seen you out by the dumpster in the alley when we went out.
I know, giving me a hard time. Thanks, I appreciate that, Jim. Yeah.
Anyway, attended the conference board and we set the budget for the for them, and then I had a regional planning meeting and just an information meeting that Mike went over a lot of stuff about the all about our landscaping bids and we're out there and the housing needs survey. That was an interesting one. You know, getting ready to see what we can do on that, and then they had a resolution to approve the and adopt partial self-funded plan for the insurance of the Great Plains and Midwest group benefits.
Besides the conference board I attended, we had Emergency Management Commission held a public hearing for the fiscal 25 budget, and we received a presentation on a proposed update for the emergency sirens. And the COMCO board met. There was discussion of a federal law or regulation that will have effect on certain people that have health savings accounts or health reimbursement accounts. I'll be honest, I can't explain how that works. If you have any questions, I encourage you to call the probably Jennifer McMillan at Jennifer McMillan at
She's not helpful.
Did you tell her you had a problem and you need to talk to somebody? Is she finding somebody?
She has no clue.
I've spoken to her about it. She's
the problem is, Tom, she doesn't have a clue, so her answer is there's nothing I can do.
Okay.
It's full.
Yeah, it's full.
And that's still a step above where I understand it. But I will reach out to them and say we need somebody to give us an explanation. I will do that.
Thank you. It's going away.
Oh, so yeah, that'd be nice to.
There is a significant.
Okay, I will. Who should I? I'll reach out to you or send you an email.
I'm going to be out for the next month.
Well,
but I have my email, so.
Okay. I'll send you an email and then.
I know the city, because of the insurance group, the city is also working on addressing the situation.
Yeah, it would be the same thing.
If
so,
you
yeah.
could include me in that as well. I think there's 8 employees or 8 groups countywide, county and citywide in the COPCO group that have spouses.
Significant percentage of people.
Pretty heavily impacted. 3 of them happen to work at my office. So.
29 citywide.
Should
14.
Should I send it to department heads maybe? Probably.
Tom, I think there's letters going out from the auditor's office on this.
I've seen the letter, it explains nothing. It is all it's gonna do is cause more anger and more confusion.
All right, we'll just try to avoid that.
Yeah,
there is an uproar. There is an uproar. And I didn't. The school was, I know about it when they explained it. Most of it, and even some of the excrement went sailing over my head, and I attributed that to them. I don't know anything. And apparently it goes deeper than that.
Yeah. On a basic level, because I don't have a great understanding of it, there's some staff that are able to take insurance through their spouse. Moving forward to this point, they've been able to put money into an HSA somewhere around 500-ish, give or take, monthly, into an HSA, and basically they got a letter that says that that is no more.
I think there's confusion here.
No, actually, what the deal is if they're taking insurance through a spouse that does not work under the COPCO board, okay, they still get the money.
Yeah.
If you have two employees that work under that same umbrella, that money that they are saving, they no longer get it.
Okay.
Maybe I stated it wrong.
Yeah.
Sure remember hearing that, but the, like you said, the reason or why that's happening, which...
They said it was a tax implication, everything has to be equal, but then that's not equal.
And that's family? That's family members that are on the same?
Yeah, if there's like...
So they're punishing...
They're punishing employees that work under the COPCO.
Well, it's not even that. So for instance, I have an employee whose husband is on Medicare. So she cannot put him on her insurance, nor could she be on his. But she still gets a family allocation, even though she takes the single plan.
Yeah.
So she has X amount of hundreds of dollars each month that she puts into the health, it's not even a health savings account, it's the health reimbursement account, to offset any costs that they have for their medical insurance or any other medical costs. So what this means, and it's not just for people who are married within the group, it's everybody, because I have two, where they are now going to lose the excess allotment because there's nothing they can put it into.
Is it the difference between an HSA and an HRA, or is that...
The HSA you can only get if you're in a high deductible plan, which there are only certain IRS-approved plans that will let you have the actual health savings account. So most people get plan A, B, or C, just a regular plan.
Yeah.
Those are not qualified plans to get an HSA, so you're actually in an HRA. And no, I did not get these questions answered by them.
No.
I looked it up myself. and so it's the HRA that apparently it is not allowable to put any excess allotment into the HRA. So they can still, for instance, like I'm a perfect example, she's informed me, well, you can get insurance. Well, no, I can't, because I'm under my husband's plan per the COPCO rules, and I'm not allowed to get insurance. So I have X amount of allotment through that single allotment that I have no place to put. I can't do dependent care reimbursement for flex spending because my son is 22 years old today, as a matter of fact.
Wishing him a happy birthday.
With flex spending, you're only allowed $500.
And flex spending, you're only allowed $500.
Which I spend in a week.
And I frankly don't use flex spending anyway. And I'm already fully covered under my husband's plan. So now I have an allotment of money that I can't use. Whereas a couple of my employees are entitled to the family allotment. That is what they get. They only have a single plan because of the status of their spouse's insurance, which is Medicare. And so they take that excess amount and they put it into the HRA. Now they have no place to put it.
So it just goes away.
So it just goes away. So essentially all of these employees are going to be taking a significant hit to their compensation package that other employees will not be having.
And this is gonna happen in a few months.
July 1.
In July 1.
And I would say most are not aware because this is the first I heard.
Well, a lot of them got this letter.
Yeah, there would have been a letter. If you put money in your HRA, you would have gotten a letter. At least the county employees did. The city did not. That said, this is what is happening. But when you call, and they'll actually have you speak to World Insurance, not EBS. And she really, that, and she's right. All she will tell you is, that's the law. I don't know what to tell.
Unfortunately, we're dealing with something with someone who's brand new. I mean, Carolyn would have.
Yeah.
Carolyn would have been able to look at other avenues. She doesn't have that.
And I looked up the IRS rule. That is what it says. It's ultimately going to be up to the insurance board, the city, and the county, who oversee all of the entities within the insurance group, to figure out how they're going to handle this without technically penalizing people for who they're married to.
being married to the wrong person is penalty enough.
Depends on what they have.
And I'm not speaking from experience.
Ms. Broker.
Okay, Ms. We aren't going there. No. I will reach out and see if we need some sort of an explanation or an alternative maybe.
There's got to be alternatives.
At
some point, there has to be some sort of alternative. Otherwise, you're going to be having employees that are facing anywhere from $300 to $700 cut in their compensation package because there's no place to put this money. A month.
My annual cut will be over $8,000. So I just, with a snap of the finger, lost $8,000 that I really use for my medical. But it doesn't matter. I mean, it's still supposed to be equal across the board. So we have no idea what everyone else is using it for, but they are due that money. That's a blow.
And I think most people are using it in the health reimbursement account.
Well, you have to use it for health. You have to use it for medical.
Or
so.
You can use it, or for a retiree, that money stays with you, so you can use it to pay your insurance if you're not Medicare eligible yet.
Right.
That's what I do with it.
Yeah.
But it's a significant amount of money when you think of it annually for
a
significant
huge retention
group
point
of people.
For us, and it's in our budget. I mean, the way I read the letter, it would mean that for those employees that it would be removed from, essentially we wouldn't even be planning to pay their insurance because they would be, I guess two of my employees would be paid through their spouse's insurance. So how that would work out between the city and county, I don't know, but. Right now it's budgeted and it's part of their package. It would be nice if we could find that out.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to anybody it impacts that. I have a couple employees that have made that really clear. And it would if you're talking $6,000 or more.
I will see what I can find out or if I can find somebody that can give us some information or alternatives or whatever that is. I would encourage the press, if they have any questions about this, not to call me.
you might want to just hold off for a while asking any questions.
I will have time to be researching this over the next month.
You what?
I'm going to have some time to be looking into this over the next month, while I'm recuperating. I'll see what I can find out.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Actually, you made it clearer than I understood at the meeting. Not that I'm entirely clear on it.
Remember, I'm a trial lawyer. I got to make everything understandable to people.
to the lowest common
denominator. I cannot say that, Natalie.
Well, if you can make Tom understand.
I did not use those words. But no, after I got my letter, I spent a significant amount of time looking at it and research, and actually going on the IRS website to look it up. So.
Thanks, Lisa. Meeting reports, that was my last one. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to make a comment, has any questions, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or you can call 319-753-8203 extension 4. That's 319-753-8203 extension 4. We will give you a couple of minutes to initiate that email or that call. And in the meantime, if there's any further discussion or questions here, this is the time.
I sent all three of you guys an email about March 26th for a construction program meeting. I didn't hear from any of the three of you, so I was just wondering if that works for your calendar.
Well, I sent it to you.
It didn't come back. So no big deal. I just wanted to pepper you and see if that worked for your guys' calendar and get onto it early enough to reserve it.
It's on
my calendar.
I will check. I don't remember whether I put it on my. I will check when I get back.
If it works for you guys, March 26th, I would love to get your. But we'll need your time for a couple hours, so it kind of dominates your Tuesday, first part of your Tuesday. So.
You aren't going to take us on a mud road, are you?
If I can find mud, we'll try.
Much of it out there right now.
No, none really at the moment.
He's got a whole month to find it.
Coming back from Iowa City, and I was surprised to see that there was, actually from Riverside, there was a bunch of snowdrifts still out there.
Really?
There's still snow in places.
Yeah.
As crazy as that is.
Yeah, we went up and picked up beef at the locker up there, and it was, there was a lot of large piles.
Down the bottoms of ditches and like kind of by outlets of culverts where it shades in the afternoon. Or on treat areas or whatever. It's weird to see that with this reform.
Yeah, it tells you how much snow we actually had in those piles.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our 2 minutes. So with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're here. Close enough. We're adjourned. Ken, don't.